Boker Tov, everybody. Shavua Tov. Hope everybody's doing well. It's really an extra Yashikov for people who come out 3 days before Pesach. I know everybody is busy, but Talmud Torah is always a wonderful way to include in your preparations for Pesach. So it's a pleasure to welcome for the first time to Torah Motion Rabbi Yamin Goldsmith, who some of you heard. He's been living in Israel for 20 years. He's the Rosh Midrasha at Shalavim for Women, of course, which is in Jerusalem. He's a graduate of Yeshiva University, where he got his undergraduate degrees in Hismith, and he has a degree and master's in public administration from Columbia. And it's, you can hear already his excitement. It's a pleasure to welcome him to Torah Motion. We're going to speak about Hallel praises. So, Bakasha, Rav Yamin, it's all yours.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rabbi Kelman, and everyone who's joining. And really, it is nothing less than an honor to be a part of this this great opportunity to learn Torah together. As we mentioned a few moments ago, only a few decades ago, you could basically only learn Torah with the people around you. And then slowly, telephones and computers, and now Zoom, we can learn with people all around the world. And it's almost Pesach for all of us, and yet we're able to learn Torah together. It's quite the honor. And what I'm going to do, actually, I put on the chat, I will right now, I put my my phone number, my WhatsApp number. If you have any questions after we finish and after we log off, please feel free to reach out. It's quite the honor to learn with you. I wanted to discuss something this evening, this afternoon or morning, depending on where you are, about the Pesach Seder, which we all know, we recognize that this happens every time we have a Pesach Seder. And I wanted to explore a little bit as to why this phenomenon happens. And in order to do that, I'm just going to share my screen. Because what I did was, give me a moment here. What I did was, here we are. Actually, give me a moment. I'm sorry. I'm going to do another one there. What I did was I took part of the, no, I'm sorry. This is, give me one more moment here. Okay. What I did was I took part of the Pesach Seder, which we're all familiar with, but I just wanted to look at it a little bit globally and then to ask a couple of questions on that. So you'll notice at the top of your screen or at the top of the source sheet, again, here, Hallel, Shira, Vitziat Mitzrayim. We're going to be speaking about Hallel, the praise that we give on Pesach night, the song that we sing on Pesach night, and about the Exodus from Egypt. And you'll notice at the end of the Magid section, so at the very end, after we've explored all about Yetziat Mitzrayim, all the learning of Yetziat Mitzrayim, we have this special lead-in to the end. And we say, Lefichach Anachnu, because of everything we've discussed, because of all the challenges in Egypt, and also now because of the Exodus, and because we merited to be able to experience the Exodus, to be able to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim so powerfully, therefore it is incumbent upon us, Anachnu Chayavim, to express gratitude and to express praise and to praise God, to glorify God, to honor God, to uplift God, et cetera, all these beautiful verbs, the responsibility that we have. And this is only a tip of the iceberg in terms of our responsibilities that we have to God. We have to praise him and thank him. To whom? To the one that she'asa la'avoseinu velanu, to the one, to God himself, who made for us, who performed for us and for our ancestors, es kol hanisima elu, all of the miracles that God performed for us. He took us out from slavery to freedom. Miyagon l'simcha, we experienced the maror, literally. We experienced the pains of Egypt, but we also now are experiencing the happiness, the joy, the freedom. Me'evel le'yom tov, so powerful, from morning, literally morning. We can't forget. We know the end of the story. We know that the end of the story, and they all lived happily ever after, or for the most part. But really, there was evil first. There was mourning, and there was a holiday, Yom Tov. Me'afela, there was darkness, la'or gadol, to a huge light that God gave us, so to speak, from slavery to redemption. V'nomar lefanav, and we will say before God, Eshira Chadasha, and these are bolded words, and we'll see why, God willing, in a few minutes. We're going to have to say to God now, a new Shira, a new song. Hallelujah, praise is God. And then we go into two chapters of Tehillim. At the end of Magid, we say these two chapters, and these are the beginning two chapters of Hallel, the same Hallel that we say every time, every Yontif, every Rosh Chodesh. We say on Hanukkah. We don't say on Purim, but that's for technical reasons. But all, even people that have private redemptions may say these words. But we only say the first two paragraphs of Hallel. We're going to go back in a few minutes to look at them a little bit more in depth. I just want to, again, look at the global picture for a moment. We say these two chapters, just those two. Then we break. And if you follow along in your screen, then we say a bracha. We say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Blessed are you, God, Asher Ga'alanu. You redeemed us. You saved us. V'ga'alas avoseinu mimitzrayim. And you redeemed our forefathers, our ancestors from Egypt, and vihigiyanu, and you caused us to get to this night, Pesach night, la laila hazeh, le'echol bo matza umaror. And just as you did that, God, kein Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu, please God, yagiyenu, please bring us le'moadim, v'liragalim achirim, habaim likraseinu le'shalom, please bring us to more holidays, smechim bevinyani recha, happy in the rebuilding of your city, Yushalayim. Yushalayim is beautifully built today, but it could be even more beautiful with the bringing of the Beis Hamikdash. And we should, God willing, rejoice, v'sasim b'avodasecha, rejoice in the avoda that we will do for you in the Beis Hamikdash. V'nochal sham, and there in the Beis Hamikdash, please God, that you'll rebuild. We'll eat there, min hazvachim u'min hapsachim. Zvachim are a general word for korbanos, specifically korbanos that we bring on Pesach, like the korban chagiga, for example, and also the psachim. We, God willing, will still eat the korban Pesach this year, and whose blood comes to the wall of the mizbeach. And now you'll see why I bolded the words, because now before it had said v'nomar lefanav shira chadasha, here we say v'nodelecha, and we will express our gratitude to you with a shir chadash, and we will ask how come one is in feminine and one is in masculine. Hold on for a moment, please. We were going to say a new shir, a new song, al geulaseinu v'al padus nafshenu. Not only were we freed physically, but we're also freed emotionally, mentally. Being a slave is not only about the hard work, it's about the mental anguish that accompanies slavery. But you, God, we will thank you for bringing us out of both of those. Baruch Ata Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, blessed are you, God, who redeems Israel. Then some people sing, Hineni Muchan Muzuman, some people sing that. But whatever it is, then we make a bracha on the second cup of wine. Baruch Ata Hashem Borei Pri Hagafen. And now, just a little bit of a fast forward, then we do rachatz. Now we wash our hands with the bracha, motzi matzah, all the matzah that we eat, maror, the maror that we eat, korech, the sandwich that Hillel instituted, matzah and maror together. And God willing, this year, it'll be matzah, maror, and korban Pesach together. That's really how he instituted it. And shulchan orech, we eat our meal, tzafun. Safun, the hidden afikomen, we eat the afikomen. Barech, we say Birkat HaMazon, which with the third cup. We add the paragraph of Shfoch HaMatcha, and now we have what's called Hallel. Right? Shulchan Arech, Safun, Barech, Hallel. Here's Hallel. And now we don't say the whole Hallel. Before we said the first two paragraphs of Hallel, now we say the last four paragraphs of Hallel. When we say Hallel, we're only referring to the last four. Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, etc. All the way to Hashem Zacharanu Yevarech, Yevarech et Beit Yisrael. Then we go on to Kuf Tet Zayin Ahavti, which also incorporates Ma Ashiv Lashem, Kol Tagim Lo Yalai. Again, we're going to talk about the specific psukim in a couple of moments, God willing. We say Hallelujah Hashem Kol Goyim. We sing Hodu Lashem Kitov, Yom Ana Yisrael, etc. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, Baruch Haba, and that's it. And that's our Hallel. That's our Hallel for the evening. And the one question that I'd like to discuss this evening is why. Why is Hallel split on Pesach night? That's really our question. Why is Hallel split on Pesach night? It is the only night or nights of the entire year where Hallel is split on Pesach night. And the question is why? Why? So I'd like to share an answer and humbly, if possible, build on an answer that was given by Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, who died in 1993 on Pesach. On Pesach. He died on Chol HaMoed Pesach 30 years ago. This is his 30th Yortzeit, his 30th anniversary of his passing. And I'd like to share an idea that he gives, and then with permissions to kind of stand on his shoulders and build upon that a little bit more. The question again is, why do we split Hallel on Pesach night? And so in order to understand why we split the Hallel on Pesach night, it's important for us to think a little bit differently, not so much about why do we split on Pesach night, but first let's talk about what is Hallel. What is Hallel made of so that we can figure out why it splits? And so again, if we go back to our screen, we'll notice, you know, I sometimes when I think about Hallel, or if I were to ask you, you can think for a moment yourselves, if I were to say to you, compose your own Hallel, perhaps maybe something happened in your family that really demands a Hallel, a praising of God. Many of us say Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut. I say Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut, and if I were writing the Hallel for Yom HaTzmaut or for any day, Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuot, whatever it is, Rosh Chodesh, I would imagine that we would make and compose a Hallel that talks about praise. That's what Hallel means. I'm praising God. And that indeed is what Hallel is in the beginning. And if you'll notice, I'm not going to do the entire Hallel, but maybe you'll be able to follow along a little bit. I'll try to highlight some of the words here. Take a look at how Hallel begins. We say, for example, Hallelujah. Maybe we can see here one moment. Yeah. Hallelujah, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. All the servants of God should praise God. Yehi Shem Hashem Mevarach Me'atav Yad Olam. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mavuo Mulal Shem Hashem. Praise is God. May God's name be praised forever and ever from the east to the west throughout the world. May Hashem be praised. Yeah, he picks up a poor person, but not just poor physically, but a poor nation, a poor people. He picks them up and he enables them to be seated, at the seats of princes. He takes a person who's unable to have children and he turns her into an Aim Habanim, turns her into a woman who is mother of children. Hallelujah. And then it continues in Mizmor Kuf Yudalid, but say it's specifically about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but it's really all the time. Yitzhak Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we were a very lowly nation, but the mountains moved for us, and the valleys moved for us, and the oceans moved for us, the rivers, I should say, moved for us. Everything was changed. Nature was changed because of God. Hallelujah. And if I were writing the Hallel, I would basically copy paste. Again, I'm skipping because on Pesach night we do split it. But the problem is that the rest of Hallel does not only talk about unbridled praise. It does not only talk about gratitude. It does not only talk about praise and thanksgiving. What Rabbi Soloveitchik calls a hymnal section of Hallel. It doesn't only talk about that. So take a look, for example, We say in our Hallel, we say, let's go to here to Pasuk Beit. Pasuk Beit. Lama yomru agoyim ayina Elohehem. Why do the nations of the world, they ask, where is our God? Their idols mean nothing, and we believe completely in God. We believe totally in everything that God does, and we believe everything that He does is for the best. But continuing in Hallel, for example, in Kuftet Zayin, Hashem listens to me, but Afafuni Chevle Mavet, I am surrounded by the pangs of death, Umitzare Sheol Mitzauni. And the pains of Sheol could be the grave, it could be the underworld, whatever that means, the netherworld, whatever that means. But they have found me. The pains of the grave had found me. Aravia gonemza, I have found only anguish and pain. And I do cry out to God. He saves me. Hanun Hashem, he's very gracious. If you follow along in the translation here. He does everything that I ask, but I thank Hashem for everything that I do that He has done for me. But there's also petition here. And Hallel, beginning with Kuf Tet Vav, Kuf Tet Zayin, Kuf Yud Ched, it's found even more so in Kuf Yud Ches, towards the end of Hallel, or the last paragraph of Hallel, we say Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. We say Yomar Na Yisrael Ki Leolam Chasdo, God's grace, God's kindness abounds. There's no end to His kindness, and all of a sudden, then we say Min HaMeitzar Karasi Ka. I called out to God from the straits. Straits. I call out to God from the pains, from the narrowness. Mitzrayim comes from the word Mitzarim, from times of narrowness, not of comfort, but of real challenging times. And keep going on. Hashem li be'ozrai. I believe in God. I trust God. I thank God. And then kol goyim sevavuni. All the my enemies, the Gentile enemies, have surrounded me, and I call out to God, and He enables me to cut them down. Keep going. Again, we have a combination of gratitude, but also pain and also petition, needing God. Take a look at a really powerful example of the transition from gratitude to petition is Pasuk Chav Dalet. Beautiful. This is the day that God has given me, and we will rejoice. And the next words, Ana Hashem Oshiana, save me, God. Ana Hashem Atzlichana, make me successful. So the interesting thing here is that if we were to write Hallel, we would not have written those words. I would not have written those words. There's a time and a place for petition. There's a time and a place for needing God. There's no question about it. But the Hallel doesn't seem to be one of them. If it were up to me, I would have written only, I think many of us would have written only the parts of Hallel that talk about thanksgiving and praise and hymns. Whereas, and that's true that we have in the first two chapters of Hallel. The problem is in the last four chapters of Hallel, we don't only have thanksgiving and praise and hymns. We also have a combination of that plus petition, requests, bakasha, beseeching God. They're very complex. The last four paragraphs of Hallel are not only concentrated on praise. They're not only concentrated on thanksgiving. They contain a blend of thanksgiving and petition, a blend of freedom and incomplete freedom. So if that's the story, if that's what we're thinking about, then we have another question. Rather than ask, why is Hallel split on Pesach night? Perhaps a more appropriate question is, why is Hallel ever together on every other day of the year? It seems that the way Pesach, the Seder does it, is the most appropriate. On Rosh Chodesh, on Pesach, on Sukkot, on Shavuos, I should only have Hallel. Thank you, God. Thank you, Hashem. You are infinitely kind. You're infinitely wise. You are benevolent. Why would the Hallel ever be together? Why would we have six chapters in Sefer Tehillim that discuss a combination of praise and petition? Why not just have only praise? So before we can ask the question, why on Pesach night is Hallel split? Our question now has to be, why is Hallel ever together? Rabbi Soloveitchik maintains the following beautiful idea, and then perhaps we can expand upon it a little bit. Rabbi Soloveitchik maintains that really, for a Jew, there is no room for pure, unadulterated praise. There really cannot be an opportunity where we say, thank you, God, period. Why not? Because we are so vulnerable. Our life is so challenging that we can never simply say, thank you, God, have a nice day. What we have to do is to say, thank you, God, for everything you have done for me until now. Thank you, God, for everything you've done for us until now. However, we still need you. Our relationship cannot end, God forbid, because I am in need of your continued kindness. And therefore, usually, Hallel is put together. Hallel is put together because Hallel has to be a combination of praise and petition. As a matter of fact, and I'm going to share my screen again. As a matter of fact, that idea is the subject of a machlokes between the Rambam on the right side and the Ramban on the left side. The Rambam, Rav Moshe ben Maimon, who died in 1204, wrote many svarim, including the Mishneh Torah, which is the halachic encyclopedia. We all know the first halachic encyclopedia. He also wrote a very, very important peirush to the Mishnah. I believe he wrote it when he was 17. So I lost that opportunity, but we can still contribute. He wrote, of course, the great Mora Nevuchim, the great work of philosophy. But he also wrote what's called here on the screen, the Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos is a listing of what he thinks are the 613 mitzvos. And in number 5, the fifth mitzvah in the whole Torah, the Rambam says, HaMitzvah HaMishit, Hi HaTzivui Shnitzavinu LeOvdo Itale. We are obligated to praise Him, to praise God, to serve God. How do we serve God? Through tefillah. That is through tefillah. We have an obligation, mina Torah, and he brings many psukim to share with us. And he says, ki hu are yesh bo yichud, ki hu, if you follow my arrow, ki hu tzivui al hatfilah. And that's, he quotes the Medrash, ula ovdo zo tefillah. We have an obligation, according to the Rambam, to pray to God, to daven to God. Now, the Rambam is very clear. How many times a day do we daven? We daven 3 times a day. That is midrabanan, according to the Rambam. The words we say, midrabanan. The times that we're obligated to daven, all midrabanan. But the requirement to daven, the requirement to pray at least once a day is min hatorah. It is a mitzvah min hatorah, and that's the Rambam. However, the Ramban who also wrote many svarim. Hold on a moment. The Ramban who also wrote many svarim. He also wrote what's called Hasagat or Hasagot HaRamban. The Ramban wrote places where he felt the Rambam was incorrect in his listing of the mitzvos. It's not a lot. You'd think that every single one there would be an argument. No, but there are some mitzvos that the Rambam counts as a mitzvah, and the Ramban says, no, I'm sorry, it's not a mitzvah. And here we have the Ramban disagrees, and I won't read it inside for time, but the Ramban disagrees, and he says, no, there is no mitzvah min hatorah. There's no mitzvah from the Torah to daven every single day. There is a mitzvah, says the Ramban, to daven when we are in a challenging place. There are no atheists in foxholes. And the Ramban says, when we are, God forbid, in a challenging place, ourselves, our family, someone we know. So perhaps, says the Ramban, then you would have a mitzvah min haTorah to daven that day. He says it's possible to go a whole week, a month, a year. A person can go, God willing, their whole lifetime and never really need to daven every single day. Why? To daven at all. Because perhaps they are not in a Eitz Sarah. They are not in a time of a challenging, painful time. And that's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says we have a mitzvah to daven every single day. The Ramban says, no, we don't. We sometimes do if we're in a challenging situation, but usually we do not. And Rabbi Soloveitchik brilliantly tells us that in reality, fundamentally, there really is no argument between the Ramban and the Rambam. Why is there no argument? Because says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the idea that a person has to daven every, a person according to the Ramban, the idea that a person davens when they are in trouble, says the Rambam, we're always in trouble. We're always be'et tzarah. We're always in a challenging time. I can relax. I can go on vacation from God. I'm okay now. I have money in the bank. I have food in my refrigerator. I have clothing in my closet. And so I'm fine. God, I'll come back to you when I need you. No, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rambam holds, of course, we have a mitzvah to daven when we are be'et tzarah, and we are always be'et tzarah. So that is again this idea of Rabbi Soloveitchik explaining Hallel being, that's what Hallel being, a combination of thanksgiving and petition. Yes, we have both. We can never say thank you and I'll call you when I need you. Thank you and I still need you. And as a matter of fact, this idea is expressed in a very beautiful essay. And I'll bring this on the screen as well. Give me a moment here. A beautiful, beautiful explanation. A very beautiful explanation by Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Yitzchak Huttner died in 1980. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva called Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. And he wrote not on Pesach, he wrote on a lot of things, but I'm referring to something that he wrote in the Pachad Yitzchak in on Hanukkah. And he says the following. The word in Hebrew to say thank you is modeh. Modeh ani lefanecha melech ha-vekayam, the first words we say when we wake up in the morning. We don't want to say ani modeh when we wake up in the morning. We want to say modeh ani. The first word should be modeh. The first word should be thank you. I am grateful. Modeh ani lefanecha, todah, korban toda. Of course, modeh, I am modeh, means I am grateful to you. Says Rabbi Rav Huttner, what's interesting is that there's another meaning to the word modeh, and that is what he calls here. Second line here, hoda'at baldin, hoda'at baldin, the admission of a person in court. If somebody comes to court, they bring me to court, and they say that I owe them $100. So I can deny it. I can admit to some of it. I can admit to all of it. If I admit all of it, that's called hoda'at baldin, an admission of a person in court. He says, you owe me $100. And I say, I admit, meaning ani modeh. I admit you are right. I admit that that I owe you the money. So Rav Huttner says it would seem that these two words are two different meanings. A lot of words have two meanings. Says Rav Huttner, these are not two meanings. This is the exact same meaning. To say thank you to somebody is not just expressing gratitude. To say thank you to somebody also is an expression of admission. I could not have done it without you. It's very hard to say thank you. Because saying thank you means I admit, I recognize that I need you. It is true that we say that about other people. That's very true. It's also true that, of course, we say that about God. Ani modeh, when I say thank you, God, in the very word of gratitude is an admission that I need you more, that I need you. And so again, this idea that of pure gratitude is basically, and I do add the word basically on purpose, it's basically impossible. It's impossible to say thank you. What we have to say is thank you / I need you. Or thank you, I admit that I cannot do it by myself. It's humble, it's humbling, but it's required. Built into the very word of gratitude is an admission of need. And so, we began by talking about why is Hallel split on Pesach night. We had to take a detour to figure out why it's ever together, and now we understand why it's together. Hallel has to be a combination of Ze Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismachavo and immediately Ana Hashem Hoshiana. It's Hallelujah. At the same time that I say thank you, God, I praise you, God, at the very same time, I also say I need you. I'm not done. And this idea of that combination is found. I'll go down a little bit more here. I don't know if you can see it. I hope you're able to see it on the screen, but I'm pretty sure you can access the source sheets on Torah in Motion. There is a Gemara that Rabbi Soloveitchik kind of adopts for our purposes, as Rabbi Soloveitchik and many briskers often do, taking a halachic concept and expanding it into a hashkafic concept. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. I have the arrows here, and we'll see if we do the Rashi's, but the arrow says as follows, or you can follow my arrow. Hanichnas lakrach, mitzpalel shtaim, a person who goes into a dangerous neighborhood. This is quoted lehalacha in Simin Kuf Yud, Seif Dalid, and Hey in the Shulchan Aruch and Orach Chaim. If a person goes to a dangerous place, it happens to some of us, we have no choice, we go to a dangerous place. The Gemara says, if you do go into a dangerous place, mitzpalel shtaim, you say two different prayers. What two prayers do we say? One prayer, I think there's some questions on the chat. I'm trying my best to jump. Give me a moment here. I'm just checking the chat here as well. Oh, I see. Okay, yes, thank you. My friend and neighbor, David Eisen, wrote a beautiful piece on the chat. I recommend reading if you have a moment. He wrote it to everyone. Thank you, David. Where am I here? Okay, sorry about that. So the Gemara says that if you go into a dangerous place, you daven two tfilos, once going in, achas b'knisaso, once going in, saying, thank you, God, for enabling me to get into this place safely, but achas b'yitziaso. And I also have to pray one more time to say, please, God, I still need you. I got to get out of here. And as a matter of fact, Ben Azai Omer, and this is going to be the quote that Rabbi Soloveitchik says again and again, Ben Azai says, Arba, you have to daven four different tfilos when you go into a dangerous place. Shtaim b'knisaso, two going in, v'shtaim b'yitziaso, and two going out. Why? Because says Ben Azai, when I go in, I say, please God, get me there safely. Two, thank you for getting me there safely. Three, please enabling me to get out of here safely. And four, thank you for enabling me to get out of here safely. And the line that Ben Azai says is, notain hoda'a. You can follow my arrow if you like. Notain hoda'a al she'avar. What you have to do is to say, thank you for the past. I appreciate everything you've done for me in the past. Notain hoda'al she'avar, v'so'ek al ha'atid. And at the same moment that you are saying thank you for the past, you are also so'ek al ha'atid. You cry out, you must cry out for the future. You must cry out for what you still need. There, and that expression, when it comes to tefillah saderech or a tefillah be'eit tzara, is what Rabbi Soloveitchik says happens in Hallel all the time. All the time. Every time we say thank you to Hashem, we do these two things simultaneously. Notain hoda'a al she'avar. Thank you, Hashem. There is absolutely, I am modeh, I admit, there is no way I could get here where I am today without your help, but I still need you. So eka latid. And that's not ingratitude, that's an expression of need. Ingratitude would be, I can take it from here. I don't need you anymore. But the truth is, I still do need you. Notain hoda'a al she'avar, v'tzo'ek al ha'atid. And that idea explains another issue in the Haggadah that we already started talking about briefly. If we go back originally to our Hallel, if you recall, I bolded a couple of letters. So again, here we are. I try to keep it all on one screen if possible. What do we have? We're finishing Magid. V'nomar lefanav shira chadasha. That is in feminine. Then we say the two mizmorim, which we'll come back to in a moment, of why it happens, what we do on Hallel, and then we have on Pesach night, and then we have v'nodelecha shir chadash in masculine. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, before we get to the bolded words, every other day of the year when we say Hallel, we are obligated to combine notain hoda'a al she'avar v'tzoek al atid. However, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, there is one night a year or two nights a year, the Pesach Seder, where we are allowed to break, to take a break from that necessity of combining gratitude, praise, and petition. One night a year, Pesach night. Pesach night, you'll recall, we get to the point. I have it down here, I believe. Chayav Adam, I'm sorry, I may have taken it out, I apologize. Chayav Adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. The evening, Pesach evening, the Pesach night, Leil HaSeder, is absolutely not a history lesson. It, of course, is current events. We work our way up. We work our way up. I'm almost thinking of it as a mountain almost, and you'll see why I'm using this analogy. Working up, and we finally, at the end of Magid, we are at the top of that mountain. At the top of the mountain of Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzah Mimitzrayim. I left Egypt. It's not a history lesson from 3,500 years ago. It's a history lesson from 35 seconds ago. I left Egypt. Well, if I left Egypt, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, God enables me at that moment to say thank you, period. And that's it. I am at the moment, I am at the place where I can say thank you, and that is it. And that is why, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, these first two paragraphs of Hallel are separated from the other four, because these are the only two paragraphs, the only two mizmorim in all of Hallel that discuss thank you, period. That discuss a praising of God without expressing petition. We're going to get there. But when we're at the top of that mountain, so to speak, of Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzah Mimitzrayim, I left Egypt, everyone has to view ourselves. Well, how do we express that? We express that by saying Hallel, a unique Hallel, the only time in the whole year where we say only thank you and nothing else. And Rabbi Soloveitchik does not say this, but I saw this, the following, said by Rabbi Mirsky. Rabbi Mirsky, well, some of you may have had him as a Rebbe. He was a Rav in BMT many years ago. He's Baruch Hashem alive and well. I was in touch with him actually a couple of years ago. He wrote many Sfarim called Hegyonei Halacha. And on the Pesach Seder, he says the following, and it fits in exactly with what Rabbi Soloveitchik says. You'll notice, as I mentioned a moment ago, here we are, Shira Chadasha, that we talk about Shira here, in feminine, but if we go down at right before drinking the wine, we talk about it in masculine. And the question is, why? Why would it go from Shira Chadasha to Shir Chadash? Is, and many words, by the way, many words in the Torah are sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. The Gemara discusses, for example, the word derech. In modern Hebrew, derech is feminine, but we have examples in the Chumash of derech being masculine and feminine. Is Shira, is Shir one of them? Well, there are some people who change the Nusach, who change the Haggadah, because it has to be a mistake. You can't have it three paragraphs away from each other. You can't have one masculine, one feminine. However, if we flip down to the towards the bottom of the source sheet, we have the Mechilta. The Mechilta in Parshas Beshalach, and it also is mentioned in Tosfos and Maseches Psachim, the following idea, which is the key to explaining why we have Shir Chadash and Shira Chadasha. So beautiful. The Medrash says, Kol, I highlighted here, Kol Hashirot Lashon Nekeva. When we praise, when we sing about God, they're all of the praises are in feminine except chutz mishira deleatid delashon zahar. When we discuss future things, when we have a song of praise about the future, and the Navi often does this, Tanakh often does this, we are so sure of God's salvation that sometimes we sing about the future. Shir HaMalot, Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, Ayinu Kechomim is one of many examples that was said when the Galut was over, and it will be said again when this Galut, God willing, is over immediately. God willing, God willing. So we have all the Shira is usually in feminine. However, any song that discusses the future is Lashon Zachar. And now let's go back. I'm sorry if I made you a little bit dizzy with the source sheet, but now we'll go back and explain it exactly as Rabbi Soloveitchik said. Here we are at the end of Magid, and I mentioned the mountain. We're at the top of the mountain. If we're at the top of the mountain, then of course we're at Shira Chadasha. It is a song about the past. It is a song about the present as well, of being taken out of Egypt. And that's all the songs are, past and present, are all songs in the word Shir Shira is feminine. Absolutely. Shira Chadasha. And here we are with our two mizmorim that only discuss praise. And then I mentioned the mountain, the pinnacle. And if you'll notice, we're going to come off the other side right now. Now we have, and we read this bracha before, but we'll read it again. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher ga'alanu v'gaalas avoseinu mimitzrayim. Remember, we thank you, God, you brought us to this very night. And we're so appreciative of that. And now we have, and I'm highlighting it, Hein Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu, Yagienu lemoadim v'lir galim achirim habaim likrasenu l'shalom. Ah, we just came off the other side of the mountain, and now we are no longer at that. Chayav adam lirot adatzmo ki'ilu hu yatzam mitzrayim. Now our sights, our eyes are turned to the future. That's exactly the language of the bracha. Even right before Magid ends, we held on to that for just a moment. We held on to the moment of thank you, Hashem, period. And now we turn to the future. I still need you. I don't have the Beis HaMikdash. I don't have the Korban Chagiga. I don't have the Korban Pesach. I don't have the Korban Omer, Sfiras Omer, Korban Omer. We don't have that. So yes, you brought me here to this day. Thank you and thank you and thank you. But I still need you. Yagienu lemoadim v'liragalim acherim habayim. We still need you. We want to be happy with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We're gonna then. I didn't eat Pesach last year, but I will this year. And all of us will, God willing. We're going to eat the Korban Pesach and the blood will get to the Mizbeach. Ah, we're talking about the future. V'no delecha shir chadash. Now it's masculine again, because what did the Medrash say? The Medrash said that whenever we're talking about a future event, whenever we're talking about a shira about the future, now it turns masculine. And so there is no mistake in the Haggadah. When I'm talking about a shira that's from the past or the present, which is what happens at the end of Magid, and that's when I have just plain, simple, so to speak, unadulterated praise, shira chadasha. And then as soon as that moment, we hover over that moment, we savor that moment, at the Pesach night, and I know we're all hungry that night, and we're tired that night, and we want to get to the eating, but we savor that moment. Just that moment, I am at here, leaving Mitzrayim. Notein hodal shavar. And now I turn to Tzoek al Atid. Now I need you, God. Now I need you. And this idea is expressed so beautifully. I'm going to share my screen again. This idea is expressed so beautifully in a Gemara, the last source on the page, at the very end of Maseches Sota, Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. It's a beautiful, beautiful Gemara, and it's something that applies to all of us, not only on Pesach night, but it applies to all of us every single day. The Gemara says as follows. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer, call me, sheyesh, lo, pat bisalo. It's an expression in the Gemara. Whoever, literally it means whoever has bread in his or her basket. That's what it literally means. And the Gemara says that expression very often to mean everything's fine. And I used this example before. I have money in the bank. I have food in my cupboard. I have clothing in my drawers. I got everything I need. So call me sheyeshlo pat bisalo. Whoever has bread in his basket. Ve'omer, and that person says, ma ochal l'machar? If a person were to say, what will I eat tomorrow? Eino ela miktanei amana. That kind of person is among those that ktanei amana. They have little faith. They have little faith. Hashem took care of you until now. Now you're worried. Have a little emuna. Have some faith. God took care of you. You'll be all right. There's no promises, but you'll be okay. That is the way most people understand that Gemara. It's a very important and true way to understand that Gemara. However, the Kutzker Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kutsk, who died in 1859, is always known for his Torah that turns the Torah on its head. And he understands this Gemara in exactly the opposite way. Again, how do most people understand this Gemara? If you have bread in your basket, if you have if you have everything you need, you're basically fine. I'm not saying you're Bill Gates, but you've got everything you need. And you say, oy, 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 vey, oy, vey, what's going to be tomorrow? That's just little faith. That's little faith. Says the Kutzker Rebbe the opposite. I will give an analogy. This is not his analogy. If it is a poor analogy, please blame me. Don't blame him. But this is the way I understand his explanation of the Gemara. Imagine, God forbid, that we're all in the same room. That's not the God forbid part. Imagine we're all in the same room. And God forbid, there is a lion in the room. And oy vey is me, or who could, you know, that's terribly dangerous. There's a lion in the room right here with us. And in the other room, outside in the hallway, is a bear. Okay, very dangerous bear, very dangerous lion. We're in the room with the lion, and most of us would be saying, oh no, what do we do about the lion? What do we do about the lion? That's what most of us would say. What do we do about the lion? Imagine if one person said, here we are in the room with the lion, and he starts saying, or she starts saying, oy vey, what about the bear? What about the bear in the other room? What we would say to that person is, you're worried about the bear? Forget the bear. First, you got to survive the lion. Then we'll get to the bear. We'll get to the bear. But you got to survive the lion first. Why? You're skipping the lion? Worry about the lion before you worry about the bear. That's the mashal. Says the Kutzker Rebbe, Menachem Mendel Morgenstern of Kutsk, again, died in 1859, says the following. Call me, sheyesh lo, pat bisalo. Whoever has bread in their basket, they have food in the fridge, they have clothing in their drawers, they have everything they need, money in their bank accounts, and they're only worried about tomorrow. What we would say to them is, hold on a minute. You're only worrying about tomorrow? You're only worrying about the lie in the other room? Worry about today. When was the last time you checked your closet? Are your clothes still there? What? Hashem gave you clothes and nothing can happen to them? Hashem gave you money? God forbid, lo aleinu. Nothing can happen to it. Anything can happen in the matter of moments. I don't want to make any assumptions, but I assume that many of us on this group right now were alive on September 11th. I teach a number of students who were not alive on September 11th, 2001. And to describe how life can change in an instant. In an instant. Ah, the buildings will be fine. Let's first, you're worrying about, am I going to have money tomorrow? Worry about if you are going to have money today. Worry if you're going to have food today. Worry if you're going to have clothing today. Forget the lion. Think about the bear. And rather than that being something that should make us nervous, the opposite. That is something that should give us, hopefully, intense emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that I always need him. I'm never alone. The fact that my heart, thank God, is beating now and beating now and beating now. All of that is thank you, Hashem. And that's exactly the idea we've been saying all along. Throughout the whole year, we express our gratitude to God and we are modeh. We say thank you, but we also admit that we still need him. However, on Pesach night, one night a year, or for some of us, two nights a year, we have the ability to be so purely grateful without thinking about the future that we have to savor that moment as much as we can. And that is why perhaps one of the explanations as to why we split Hallel, and it also perhaps can inform our tefillah, it can inform the way we relate to God, our connection to God. And Emir Tzashem, this year we will be Zoche, God willing, to eat the Korban Pesach here in Eretz Yisrael, God willing, in Yerushalayim. I am happy. I was told to leave a few minutes if anybody has any questions that they want to either write on the chat or if they want to say out loud. I'm happy to. We can have a conversation. But if people do begin leaving, I just want to say thank you again for coming. Thank you to Rabbi Kelman and the whole Torah in Motion team for enabling this Torah to happen and to share words of Torah with each other. And looking forward to many more opportunities, Be'ezrat Hashem.
Right. I was very interested at the end of what you just quoted about the goddess, the having a go at the, you know, attacking the small things. I wonder whether you could say something about that, because it appeared in a book I translated about the Nazir of Jerusalem's son.
Wow, very interesting.
Well, said it to one of the rabbis. Sorry, I better give you the concept. He said it to one of the rabbis who was very anti-Zionist. You know who that was. You know, one of the Hasidic Satmar, right? So right. They had a row. The Nazir had a row, and his son, the chief rabbi of Haifa, quotes it, and he quoted that bit that you know, at the end. I wonder if it's relevant.
Sure. Wow, wonderful. I'd love to hear more about that. It's a topic that's literally another lecture on its own. There is a debate among the Jewish philosophers. Literally, we're just touching the edge about God. We believe that God is involved in the world, unlike the watchmaker, if you're familiar with the analogy, who makes the watch and walks away. But we believe that God is involved in the world. And there is a question about how much, how directly is he involved in the world? When I get a paper cut, was that God giving me a message? Was he maybe punishing me for one reason or another? Or was it simply dry skin against a piece of paper? And that's what happens in the world that God created, in the natural world, that God forced skin to cut on paper. And it was God who didn't interfere and enable me to go unscathed. This idea of anything can happen is related to that, if I believe, but it may not be directly related. In other words, if God wants, I think everyone believes, and someone can please correct me if I'm wrong, everyone believes that God, we believe that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he is able and to do anything he wants. And so when we say, I am grateful to God that my home is still standing and that my heart is still beating, he certainly does have the power to do anything he wants. And Chalila v'chas, God forbid, if he wanted to, he could change that. And so I have to recognize that it's God's constant blessings that enable me to still be able to live the way I live. and all of us that way. But again, that concept of does God give me the paper cut or not? I believe is a discussion, and I would love to see that if you're able, that excerpt from your book. That sounds very interesting.
It's published by Urim. You can get it in Israel. It's probably in a library about the chief rabbi, which I translated, the chief rabbi of Haifa's biography. Is your email in the chat then?
I will give it to you right now. I gave my phone
number. That's so nice. That is so nice. I'm speaking from England, as you can probably realize. Yeah.
So I'm happy to share. What I'm doing now is I'm sharing my WhatsApp, my email. I'm also with anyone who wants, please feel free. And I'm also again sharing one more time my WhatsApp number. Please feel free to speak on WhatsApp. Oh. I'll try my best. Both of them are there. I'll try my best. It's almost Pesach, but I'll try my best to respond and respond in the conversation. No one knows everything, and I'm certainly one of those people who doesn't know everything, but I'd love to share more. Somebody asked the question on the chat, why do we say that this Shira is new? And where does the minhag of saying Hallel and Shul on Pesach night come from? So the first question, which is more related to what we discussed, because it is true in terms of your second question, it's true that we never say Hallel at night except for some shuls on Pesach night. But the first question was, why do we say that the Shira is new? And I think that that's exactly what we're discussing. Everyone has Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim. Every one of us has an obligation to do everything we can to feel and to express that we left Egypt. And not only did we leave Egypt physically, and not only did we leave Egypt historically, but each one of us has our own Egypt. Egypt in Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and I mentioned it before too. That comes from the word Mitzarim. It means boundaries. It means narrowness, narrow of mind, narrow of body, narrow of spirit, limited. And we are all limited in one way or another. We all have our challenges. And when we are freed from those challenges, then each one of us will sing a song that has never existed before. The song that I will sing is not the same song that you'll sing. Yes, it is true. The words that we say will be the same words. We're going to be saying Hallel. Someone mentioned Hallel HaGadol, I think. Someone, maybe they wrote it just to me, that they wanted to hear a shir perhaps. Oh, yes. About Hallel HaGadol. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasdo. The words are the same words. But much like prayer in general, someone likened prayer once. I don't want to compare things that shouldn't be compared, but for the sake of illustration, someone once compared prayer to a Hallmark greeting card. We can all buy the same card and it says, happy birthday, you know, dear child. But I am able to add a note of my own and you can add a note of your own, and it turns that card into two different cards. And I believe that that's what Shir Chadash or Shira Chadasha is. Shir Chadash, Shira Chadasha means that, yes, the words we're going to be saying are the same, but the ability for us to express gratitude to God, I'm thankful for something different than you, differently than you as well. And perhaps that's what that means. The idea of the minhag of saying Hallel in Shul on Pesach is a different story. That minhag is an old minhag. Not every shul says it. Some of you may come from places that don't say it at night. But it is related to, again, this idea of the epitome of gratitude, and the epitome of salvation is Pesach. In other words, what we believe is that the salvation that happened on Pesach is so central to our lives, personally, communally, nationally, that we remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim every single day, twice a day. We speak about it, Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim, only once or twice a year on Pesach or two nights. But mentioning it, we mention it every single night. Every time we say Kiddush, every time we daven on Shabbos, every time we daven on Rosh Chodesh and Yantif, we talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And the night of this happening, we praise God in unique ways, including in Shul, and not just with our family. Praising God and thanking God and petitioning God at home is different than in shul. And so we want to take the opportunity, so to speak, to use the power of the group to praise God uniquely, not just in our homes. But again, that also is a different subject. I think that's my time. I again say thank you to Rabbi Kelman, and I look forward to hearing more. We'll call it offline, on email or WhatsApp, and God willing, we'll see each other. Very often when I finish a shiur, I say to my students, SYATM, which is an acronym which means see you at the Mikdash. God willing, we'll see all of us in the Beit HaMikdash very, very soon.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Yamin Yasher Koach. Thank you. Nobody go anywhere. Rabbi Liepag's coming on in 50 minutes. If I may, can I ask you a half personal question? Were you in my wife thinks she was in Camp Morasha with you. Is that possible?
Oh, I never
Ilana
went.
Ilana Abrams.
I wish. I never went to Camp Morasha. Oh, I never was a camper there, but I do visit there every summer. And I give shiurim there. So in the last 15, 20 years, maybe, but not before then. I actually am originally from Chicago, Illinois. And I went to Camp Moshavai Wild Rose.
Okay. So I went to Ennismore, of course, growing up. But I won't ask you how old you are, but okay. Anyways, but
I am happy to share. Thank God, 55.
So you are my wife's age. You're a year older than my wife. So she is your wife, Joy?
Yes. Joy Schlussel.
Sorry?
Schlussel, her maiden name.
Oh, so that's very interesting. She said it was Joy Rach.
No. I do know Joy Rachwager, Alea Shalom, but no. That's somebody else. I knew her also.
I'm sorry. I didn't even know. Okay. I don't know. So I'm okay. All right. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Okay. Jewish geography is the only fun we have sometimes. So it's all good.
That's it. Okay. Yashar Koach.
Yashar Koach to everyone. Kol Tov. Enjoy Rabbi Liebtag.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Well,